Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad you could join me today. And I would like to go back to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and look at what was occurring in the spirit at this time. The hand of the Lord came upon the prophet Ezekiel, and what he saw was a valley, a very large valley of dry bones, all disjointed. And the Lord asked him a very revealing question. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And then it's interesting to note what the directions the Lord gave. As I've shared on previous broadcasts, this, of course, is referencing literal Israel. There's literal application to the nation of Israel, but also because we are spiritual Israel, we can partake of the promises, the blessings. God has broken down that middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, and there's now one new man of Jew and Gentile alike. All those who will call upon the name of the Lord, who recognize Jesus, the Messiah, has indeed come. And it was a pretty desperate situation. It was a picture of utter destruction and desolation. And I was making reference that in many respects, the church and individuals in the church have really felt that way. It's a true condition, as I mentioned about the Church of Laodicea. Unless we have spiritual eyes to see our true condition, we may not even recognize it. They didn't. They thought they were just fine. They were rich and increased with goods, had need of nothing. That's what they thought, but that was not the Lord's evaluation of them. And so God directed Ezekiel to prophesy to those bones. Prophesy, O ye dry bones, and hear the word of the Lord. That's verse 4. And in 5, that prophetic word was, Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Praise God. And then in verse 6, he goes on to say, And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So he's commanded to speak the word of the Lord. And beloved, how can we apply this in our lives? Well, we need to speak the word of the Lord in our personal situation and on behalf of our loved ones, friends, work associates, our circle of influence, the work that needs to be done. God will let you see the need. He'll give you burdens, and you'll be able to stand in the gap and prophesy even in prayer and prophesy in the natural. Just declare, I am not going to be defeated. Jesus is my victory. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Start speaking the word of the Lord and see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. So in that verse 6, it's interesting. God begins a work. Breath will enter into you. That's what the word of the Lord says. You will live. And then he was going to cause flesh to come and skin. In other words, they're going to be resurrected physically in a natural body. And there is a full realization that God alone is doing that work. Hallelujah. Let me share a few scriptures from the book of Joel. That the Hebrew word know is yada, and that means to perceive, to understand, to gain knowledge through the senses. Beloved, faith is substance of things hoped for. Faith isn't just some ephemeral thing. That's what the word said. It is substance. It's a real, tangible element. It's a substance, a something that has dimensions, if you will, even though they're spiritual dimensions perceived in the realm of the spirit. It's not just vague. It's not just wishful thinking. It's an apprehension of the truth of the spiritual dimension. And so what does Joel say in 2:27? In fact, there's some wonderful scriptures. I'm going to start reading at verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the catterworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. 26, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Isn't that something you'd like to experience? And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall, here we go again, ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And in Joel 3:17, so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. So that knowing is a full realization that it is God himself accomplishing this work. Oh, that scripture, that phrase we've used so often, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Praise God, praise God. And there's a marvelous, a thrilling declaration, a prophetic statement of what's going to happen. I'm just going to read a little bit more of Joel. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward. He's talking about the days we're living in, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Spirit. 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. God is calling many today, and the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out upon the face of the earth. And the Lord is, as he spoke to Ezekiel, he's speaking to us by the Spirit of the Lord, beloved. If you can hear it, if you have ears to hear, that which is dead in your life, that which is dead in the church, as we come together, a great and mighty army, God is going to do it. He will have a church without spot, stain, or wrinkle. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is not going to fail in his divine mission that was given to him by the Father? Just as Jesus had a word to do, so God has sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit has a work to do. And beloved, he's not going to give up. It's a whole lot easier if you just submit to him and say, yes, Lord, and let the work proceed. Praise God. Sometimes we get rebellious. Sometimes we get disheartened. There's nothing worse than self-pity. In fact, I ran across something I'd written, I don't know how many years ago, as I've been organizing the desk, and it said, thou shalt not mope. And I looked up the definition. I guess it means to be listless or dejected or despondent. So I have that as a reminder, thou shalt not mope. And that I would share with each of you, beloved, not to feel sorry for yourself. That's a terrible trap to go into. But know that God is wanting to bring life and restoration. Hallelujah. And so as we go on in this chapter, we see that is in verse 7, that's exactly what Ezekiel did. He prophesied, and wow, what happened? Well, there was a shaking, a noise, and the bones came together. And not only that, sinew and flesh came upon them. But, so there was a work done. Interesting. As he obeyed the word of the Lord, it was a twofold process. The very thing, and that's why the work of God is progressive. Why we need to obey, give him a chance to speak to our hearts, and then obey what he says, and don't go any further. He said, prophesy, and what was the prophetic word? I will cause, can they live? And he said, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So the work that was done brought a body to be used, and I'm speaking an individual body as well as this great body of believers, if you will, this army of the Lord, but there was breath that was needed. Isn't that right? And he said in verse 9, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So what I see here is a prophesying to the natural realm, to yourself, to your loved ones, to those concerns, those areas that need God's intervention, the moving of God's Spirit. But then also you're commanding the natural situations. What did the Lord say? Commanding concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. But then there is an importuning of the Lord himself. Prophesy to the wind. What does that mean? Well, that wind is the female Hebrew noun, the ruach. The most basic meaning is air in motion, the breath of the nostrils, wind, or, of course, we understand it to mean the Holy Spirit. It's the exact same word for spirit in verse 1. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord brought him into this valley of dry bones. So this is very exciting when we see that God himself is restoring, he's healing, and as we continue on in this message on living bones, I want us to look at seven important lessons we can learn from that, and we'll start that on tomorrow's broadcast. But as I bring this broadcast to a conclusion, I want to give an invitation to those of you who perhaps may have listened for a while, and if you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, if you've been blessed through the radio broadcast, then there's another venue the Lord has for you. If you feel that anointing and tugging of the Spirit, please obey it, because the avenue of the correspondence ministry, it's something that I have always personally handled. Just Brother Glass and I have always and only handled the ministry of correspondence. I wait before the Lord for the letters he would have me to share. And I get so much enjoyment about the enclosures I send. Pull in the artwork, and if I find inspirational materials, I always want to send something with my letters that will encourage and uplift. But this is a letter from a sister writing from Sausalito, and she said, Dear Sister Judith, your letters to me have been very meaningful and inspired by the Holy Spirit. I usually read them a number of times, two or more, and sometimes on a second reading, I get another insight. I pray God bless you bountifully, a sister writing from Sausalito. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. God bless you for your prayer and financial support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best ever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.